Welcome to this Veterinary Evidence Student Awards podcast from RCVS Knowledge. Veterinary Evidence is an online, open-access, peer-reviewed veterinary journal. The annual Veterinary Evidence Student Awards are open to all undergraduate students from around the world studying any veterinary-related degree. Not only could you be published in a peer-reviewed veterinary journal and make a personal contribution to the evidence base, but you could also win one of three cash prizes. To find out more, visit rcvsknowledge.org/student awards.
Hi, it's a great pleasure for me to be here today talking to two excellent winners of our student awards who both produce knowledge summaries. My name's Kit Sturgis, I'm Editor-in-Chief of Veterinary Evidence, and today we have Rachel and Rebecca. So what I'd like to do first is to ask each of you to introduce yourselves and just give us a very brief idea of what motivated you to take part in doing a competition which required quite a bit of work on top of all your studies. So if we start with Rebecca.
We had to write a knowledge summary as part of our final year coursework, which I submitted and got quite a good grade on it, and was encouraged by the team at uni to submit it. So that's what I did. That was sort of my motivation for doing it.
And why that particular subject? Was that something that was suggested or something you'd experienced during your time in practice?
So it was something that I experienced during my time in practice. There was a bit of a discrepancy between ECC clinicians about the use of parasin with the blocked cat. So yeah, I decided to look into it a bit more and noticed there was a couple of papers on it. And so I found another summary on that.
Excellent, thank you. And Rachel, how about you? Where are you at now and how did you decide on your topic?
So similar to Rebecca, my degree at the University of Sydney has a research component where all students write a research paper of their choosing. And through that, I found out about veterinary evidence, and because I had already put a lot of work into it, it was something that, you know, I was proud of and I was happy with. I was sort of thought I might as well go the extra step of publication. And I think it ended up being a really valuable experience for me from that.
And your paper was on the use of feline recombinant interferon in FIV, which is a subject dear to my heart, as that was my PhD. Why that? Was it, do you have personal experience of cats with FIV? I mean, I know they're much more prevalent in Australia.
Yeah, so I was very interested in feline retroviral diseases. And right before I wrote that paper, I had a friend whose cat was diagnosed with FIV. And I think there are a lot of parallels drawn between FIV and HIV. So I was sort of interested in the different treatment options, because for HIV, there's like a range of antivirals and interferons that people use. But for FIV at uni, they sort of just told us supportive care and, you know, and no real targeted treatment. So I think I was really interested in whether there was an efficacious targeted treatment with interferons that you could use and what the evidence was behind it.
And that's excellent. I mean, that's really where we drive the journal. It's those questions that you may have received information both on the use of prazosin in a blocked cat or the use of recombinant omega interferon, and you really feel, actually, I don't know, some people are saying one thing, other people are saying something different, and where does the evidence sit? And those are both brilliant examples of what we're trying to achieve as a journal, so that's fantastic. And just moving on now, you know, it's a bit of a scary thing to put in a publication and receive a peer review and feedback. So, Rachel, how was that? I think it was supportive. Did you find it really scary and you'll never do it again? And
I thought all of the feedback was done in a really constructive way, and there were like questions I had about a few things, and I think Jennifer was sort of sick of receiving my emails after a while, but all of my questions were answered very clearly and it was all a very amicable process. There wasn't anything scary about it, so it was not as daunting as I thought it might be.
And how about you, Rebecca?
I very much agree with what Rachel said. I sent a lot of emails to Jennifer, and Jennifer was very, very patient with me, and it made it a bit less daunting. Sort of any questions I had, she answered really quickly and clarified everything. So, yeah.
And do you feel better able, Rebecca, in the future to just do some another piece of work? Do you feel a bit more comfortable with the review process?
It would make me motivated to do another one, maybe not straight away.
And Rachel, how about you? Have you got plans for further publications sometime in the future?
I think for me, I'm not currently in a research mindset, but I still found the experience really valuable to give me the tools if in the future I do want to publish again. And even just in clinical practice, if you want to look up the evidence base behind something, I feel like doing the whole process of a knowledge summary and having to critically analyze the papers that you're looking at has given me really good tools to look at a paper and then be able to think, okay, is this like strong, weak evidence? So either way, even I'm not sure if I will publish a lot more in the future, but either way, I think it's been valuable for me, even just as a clinician.
Yes. And Rachel, how did you find the evidence in terms of quality of the evidence that we have for much of what we try and do in veterinary practice? Did you find that evidence, there was a lot of it, or it was quite weak?
For my paper, it's sort of a niche research area, so there were only three papers that were specific to my question, and a lot of them had like very small sample sizes and limitations that I had to delve into. And I think that's true for most of pretty much almost all vet papers. And it's not because people don't want to like provide the strongest evidence possible. It's just sometimes there's limitations with funding and sample sizes and recruiting patients for your samples. So sometimes it can be a bit frustrating, but I think you can still get good knowledge from the papers that you're reading. And if you can critically analyze them to find out how strong the evidence is, then they're still very helpful in a lot of ways.
Thank you. And Rebecca, again, you picked quite a controversial subject, treatment of block cats. And did you find a similar, or did you feel the evidence was reasonably strong in your paper?
I think came to the same conclusion that all the evidence was weak for various reasons. So sample sizes, study design and things like that. But again, there was a lot of information to be gained from reading those papers and putting it all together.
Yes. And it's a sad fact, I'm afraid, that funding for veterinary studies is quite limited, and that does impact the quality of the evidence we have to work with. So, but the new generation of vets like yourselves, this is where we need to push for, you know, more funding, better quality studies, so our evidence is better. And Rebecca, you were University of Surrey. What sort of support do you get from the university? Do you feel that was quite good for your endeavours in writing a knowledge summary?
Yeah, I felt the support was really good. So we have a few research modules throughout our time studying. And then when it came to actually submitting it, as I say, it was one of the final year team that encouraged me to submit the knowledge summary and gave me some guidance on how to edit a few bits before submitting it as well.
So that was good. They sort of supported you and encouraged you rather than you actually having to go out and try and find people to help.
Yeah.
And Rachel, you're from University of Sydney, so other side of the world, but was that a similar sort of experience you had in terms of support?
Yeah, so last year when I originally wrote this paper just as part of my university research module, I had a supervisor that I was like bouncing ideas back and forth with, and she was one of the people who told me about veterinary evidence and the student awards. So she helped me, you know, find the knowledge summary template and sort of tailor my paper to that template. When it came to this year, I didn't converse as much with my supervisor. So when it came to the editing process with that evidence, it was more of, you know, just me and my computer with my emails from you guys. But I still found the experience quite easy and straightforward. It wasn't too daunting, like I said before.
And apart from learning about the subject area, Rachel, what else do you feel you've gained from actually having taken part in the writing the knowledge summary and entering this competition?
I think this has given me really good skills in just critically analysing papers. Throughout the year, when I've had questions during my final year placements about the efficacy of certain things and what the evidence is behind them, now that I've put a lot of time into writing my own knowledge summary and critically appraising all of these different papers for my own research topic, I can apply that to other areas, and it really helps me a lot. And also just having the chance to publish something as a student, I think, is a really exciting thing. So it's been good in that way as well.
Excellent. And Rebecca, one of the things that we often get accused of in academia and in real life practice is just reading the abstracts and not reading the paper. And I was quite interested in how you felt the abstract that you read, how well that actually conveyed the true information that was in the paper. Did you feel they were quite good, or did you feel that actually when you read the paper, your conclusion was a bit different?
I say that's mixed. A few of the papers that I read, there was a bit of extra information that was actually quite useful, sort of looking at other things like the side effects and things like that, which all were helpful in understanding the use of the drug. But the abstract gave quite a good summary of the preliminary results and the main results that the paper was looking at. So yeah, I found that it was useful, but reading the whole paper gave me a bit of a better understanding.
Yeah. And that's, I suppose that's always the thing, is whether you walk away with the same confidence in the information that the abstract contains, having read the paper, which is always a good plug for everyone to read the paper, not just the abstract. And just so going forward from that, I mean, Rebecca, if you, somebody came up to you, you know, somebody you knew from Surrey saying, you know, I've seen the competition, I'm thinking of entering, what sort of advice would you give them about how things that you felt might have made your life easier, or things that you felt really worked well for you?
Well, I'd encourage them to go for it. It was, once I got my head around it, it was quite a simple process which we were very well guided through. I was quite bad in sort of not replying in late replies, because I thought in my head it was going to be a lot more work than what it was. So sort of seeing the comments and everything and thinking, oh no, this is going to take me a long time, when actually the comments were really clear and it was really easy to make those edits and change the paper. And yeah, so yeah, I'd say just actually read the comments, read the replies, and it's not as much work as expected.
And Rebecca, what did you feel was the hardest thing in the whole, you know, choosing your topic, writing the thing, and getting it to publication?
I think the hardest bit at first was sort of finding the papers and then finding the information in the papers which was the most relevant. As I said before, about sort of the side effects and things like that, which don't necessarily relate to the PICO question. But for when I submitted it to uni, I included all of that in there, and then trying to sort of take out the bits that weren't actually relevant before submitting it was probably the hardest bit.
Thank you. And Rachel, sort of, you know, what would your recommendation be if you were approached? You know, did it take up a huge amount of your time, or was it something that you could manage in amongst, you know, all the other demands of being a student and doing a busy degree course?
I think there are so many resources that are actually provided on the Vet Evidence website that even before I applied for the student awards, it's not as complicated as I thought it would be. The template that you use for the knowledge summaries is very straightforward. So I think I would tell someone just to go for it. And if they've got an interest in publishing, especially if it's something similar to me and Rebecca, where we already have a research component in our degree, where we have to write a paper of some sorts anyway, if you're already halfway there, why not go the extra step? And I thought it was a really valuable and interesting experience for me.
And I'm really pleased that it was. And do you think it will have some benefit in your career? Do you think when you've applied for positions, people have been impressed by the fact you have got a publication already under your belt?
I think it's definitely, if you're looking at it from a career standpoint, most students don't have a publication. A lot of vets don't have a publication. So I think it is a valuable thing to have. You know, you can put it on your resume, and it's exciting as well to like tell your friends and family.
And how about you, Rebecca? Do you feel that made any difference to your current position, or do you just feel a bit more confident in yourself in assessing evidence?
Definitely gave me more confidence. Yeah, just more confidence in myself and my ability to assess evidence and to use other people's knowledge summaries as well, now that I sort of understand and understand the process. When I'm not sure about something, looking at the veterinary evidence website and looking for a knowledge summary on it to give me that better understanding. And that's kind of what it's given me.
And that's really important to know, that there are quite a lot of knowledge summaries on the website now. And so that's great. And again, just to remind everyone who might be listening, even if you have an idea and you have no intention of writing a paper, we have a list of questions, PICO questions for people to answer. So if you are working and you think, oh, that would be really interesting if somebody could answer that for me, then, you know, that's also contributing. So that's fantastic. So I just want to wrap this up now. It's been delightful speaking to you. It gives me great confidence. I'm coming to the end of my career. I've been doing this for quite some time, to know that the profession is in really capable hands, you know, people who are interested in the subject, who are really going to make a difference, point out to me all the things that I've been doing for years that weren't actually evidence-based and need to change. So it's been great talking to you, and thank you very much for giving us your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Veterinary Evidence. We publish freely available content relating to evidence-based veterinary medicine and its application to enhance the quality of patient care. Tweet us at RCVS Knowledge and learn more at veterinaryevidence.org.